We all got skills. We have talents and we have passions. But mine happens to be sex. This is the Fun Sexual Podcast with your oversharing swinky best friend, Majesty. And I'm talking sex and all of the ways and all of the things that make sex, well, fun. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Fun Sexual Podcast. It's me, Majesty. My friends call me Maj. The good boys and girls call me Mistress Majesty. But some people know me as... We're going to just get to the good AKAs, because let's be real. I'm the play party princess. I just do it, and I do it well. I am Majesty Maj, Mistress Majesty, or the play party princess. That's it. We're going to shorten down the AKAs, because let's be real. I am the wholesome hoe. I am the sexy sweetheart. I am the chocolate Velma. I am the freaky bitch with the bus. I am a cultivator of good vibes. But like, you know, I'm a lot of things because I could really just go on and on. You know what I'm saying? Let me stop. Hey, friends, how are y'all feeling today? Let's take a second and check in, because if I'm gonna be real honest and real transparent with y'all, this is my third time recording this episode, because the first time I went on and on and on and it had nothing to do with my topic. And then I said, fuck, this is long. The second time I went on one thing that had nothing to do with my topic for real. And it brought me to tears. So I was like, scratch that. Take a break. Cry it out. Take a break. Talk to some people. Talk it out. And get your ass back on the mic. So this is my third time recording. Did my earring just fall out? The fuck? This is my third time recording this episode. And honestly, I feel really good. Having a good little cry before this was actually probably what I needed. I'm just gonna sum up the gist of my what I was crying about, because I think it's still really relevant, and I think that there's still some work that I need to do in that space. And it was just realizing that as a black woman, I am not always treated well. And being in a relationship where I finally am being treated well, makes me realize that what I'm asking for and what I request and what I require in relationships, my interpersonal relationships, is not a lot. They are not big asks. And so I should be able to stand and feel confident in those asks. On the other hand, not interpersonal relationships, even just medically, black women are 2 to 3 times more likely to die during childbirth as opposed to white women. And that's because our pain just isn't taken seriously. And it's not just, you know, again, it's not just medically, it's in our interpersonal relationships. I've been treated so bad and been treated, I don't want to say treated so bad, because I don't want anybody to think that I've ever been beat on or abused in that way. But I have been discarded and ignored. My needs and desires in my relationships have been ignored, or just been put through some shit and just been expected to just like endure. And nobody has ever really treated me like gently and delicate. Like, if you know me, I'm gentle. I'm delicate as fuck. I cry at the drop of a dime. I'm soft. Sometimes I do have to be in my masculine energy, because I've been a single woman for a really long time, and I have to be able to take care of myself. You can't do that without some level of assertion and aggression, because if not, people will fucking walk all over you. So yeah, I do tend to have some masculine energy sometimes, but like, I am delicate as fuck, like the most delicate. So the fact that so many people have not treated me that way, sometimes it hurts, because it's like I want to be in my soft and feminine like I am now with bae. But yeah, that was what my crying was about. I just had a little bit of a breakdown, but I'm back and I'm feeling a whole lot better, and now I can talk to you about my New Orleans trip that I just got back from yesterday. I took Bae to New Orleans for his birthday. This is like the first time that I have ever tricked on a man like this. This is my first real relationship, for real. I don't consider high school relationships real. Those things weren't real. And none of them have lasted more than like 3 to 4 months. So those weren't real. And I've dated people, but this is like, this is some real adult relationship shit. And it's the first time that I've ever really wanted to like do all of the things that I do with and for Bay. And it's because he does things with and for me. It's because he treats me like a princess. It's because he listens to me and he checks on me and he always makes sure that I'm okay. And he's just a solid, like a really good, solid guy. So he makes me want to like do so much for him. I'm low key. Sometimes I'm low key a trick, y'all. I'm a trick. I thought I was going to be the one getting tricked. Oh no, I'm a trick. But you know, it is what it is. We went to New Orleans for his birthday because he's never been. And all we did was walk around and eat, but it was such a good time. Speaking of eating, if you ever find yourself in New Orleans, please go to the Acme Oyster House in the French Quarter. Acme Oyster House. They have these char-grilled oysters. That's like what they're known for. And they are fucking spectacular. The best oysters I've ever had. They're covered in like butter, cheese, garlic, I'm assuming parsley, and we got ours topped with like some crab meat, and they're cooked. So if you don't like raw oysters, you know, that's a good idea to try those. They were fucking delicious, and they give you bread so you can like sop up the butter that has now fallen as you've eaten. My mouth is getting juicy thinking about it. It was so good. Those oysters were so fucking good. I just want to make sure this is still recording. Okay. Those oysters were so fucking good. So yes, if you find yourself in New Orleans in a French Quarter, definitely go there and check them out. We did something that I've never done before while I was on this trip. And that was we were having sex at one point and we were watching TV. I was watching Black Mirror because the new season of Black Mirror just came out. And, we started playing around a little bit, but like also still wanted to watch TV. So we were literally like watching, like really into the show, watching TV and having sex at the same time. But like, so we made sure that we were in all positions where we could both still watch the TV, but we were like actively watching the TV and having sex. And it was just like slow sex, you know, going through the motions, and it felt good, but I've never done that before. Usually, you know, you Netflix and chill or whatever the fuck. By the time you start having sex, you're no longer watching TV, you know, but we were like really into the TV. And so that was really fun. And at the end, we were both like, we would like to do some more of that, because it was like, you know, just chilling and watching TV, but still getting a little freak on. I really do love that I get to explore different things in this relationship. It's teaching me a lot about myself. It's teaching me that some of the things that I thought were strengths, you know, some things that I thought I was good at, I actually am not good at. I thought that I was like the best communicator in the world. I'm not. I'm very avoidant. And I didn't know. But I thought that because I didn't really argue much with people that I was doing something right. No, I just wasn't. I just wasn't dealing with shit for real. Like, I really just was not dealing with shit. So it's teaching me that about myself, and it's interesting to watch. But I also really enjoy it. I will say that being in a polyamorous relationship teaches you, it forces you to communicate in ways that you don't even realize. It forces you to face things that you might not even want to like have to face. You didn't even know that you have to face these things, but you have to, like, in order for it to work and to stay ethical and to stay, you know, a functioning relationship, like, you are forced to communicate in some crazy ways that you're not generally taught to. And so, you know, we are learning that. We are learning my whole bra out. And if you are watching on YouTube, look up the Fun Sexual Podcast. You can see the brown bra I got on. Damn, whole shit was out. But yeah, this relationship forces us to like communicate in ways that I've never really had to communicate before. Granted, I've been polyamorous. I have identified as polyamorous for I don't know, 3-4 years maybe, I identified as polyamorous. I knew that I was going to be like a swinger for like the rest of my life, but I didn't know what my romantic life would look like. I hadn't really seen myself romantically in a romantic relationship for a long time, but I've identified as a polyamorous person for a long time. If you listen to the podcast, you know, episode 21, How I Poly, I was talking about my journey in and through being a solo poly person, identifying as solo polyamorous. For those who don't know, solo polyamorous is a relationship configuration where you are your primary relationship and then all of your other relationships are secondary and tertiary from you, but you are your primary relationship. And what that looks like for me at that point in time, I did not see myself having kids with somebody, having a nesting partner, living with somebody, sharing finances with somebody, considering somebody else's like needs and desires over what I wanted and needed for myself. It was really going to come down to like, what do I want and need for myself? And then maybe it would get to like, how does that affect the other people in my world? You know, or it looked like you have, you know, I was dating people who had primary partners. And I was their secondary. I was a lot of people. I don't say a lot of people. I was a couple different people's secondary partner. And they were my secondary partner, but I was my primary partner. I did not have a primary. And that worked for me for a long time, or long enough at least. And then, I don't know, somehow I fell into this relationship. Like, I think about it all the time. How the fuck did I fall into this relationship with this amazing man? But really, he treated me delicately. He treated me gently. He's been kind to me. He's been good to me. This man literally fucking, I hate gushing so much, but I do it all the time. He opens the door for me, the car door for me, every time. He buckles me into my seatbelt and then kisses me and then goes around and gets in the car. Like straight passenger fucking princess treatment. And I love it. 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 I love it so much. But yeah, that's how I ended up in this relationship. So at this point in time, that is my primary partner, which I just did not see myself. I didn't see myself going into this. Other things that I didn't see myself or see for myself is like just some of the shit that you like go through and work through as a person in a polyamorous relationship. So let me say this first. This episode is about polyamory and just the unfoldings and doings of my current polyamorous relationship, raising it down. So, my primary partner was in a polyamorous marriage for years, right? And he has a lot more experience in polyamory as a primary partner than I did. Because again, I had only been, you know, the secondary and tertiary partners to other people, never nested, never shared finances. I feel like it never really got that serious, other than outside of like really like dating and liking somebody, but never really got that serious and super emotional for me, right? So he has more experience in that way, and that is, I think, why he is able to be, to some degree, like really patient with me and to really pull me to the side and be like, so we're gonna talk about that. We don't need to talk about that now, but we're gonna talk about that. And I'm like, fuck, now we have to communicate. We have to communicate. Oh my God. It's humbling. It's humbling to realize that maybe I'm not the mom and maybe I don't know everything. Maybe there's still more to learn and I could be a better partner to somebody. Whatever. But it's a real thing. I will say that in this, you know, my family seeing me in and through this relationship, and just sometimes the questions that they ask are funny, because I grew up in a very Islamic household. My mother was a co-wife. My mother's husband had a wife before my mother married him, one of my mother's husbands. And we used to like hang out at their house, and their sons were my brothers. And so we would all, and me and my sister, we would all play together. Like that was a very real thing in the Islamic community, especially in East Orange and Newark and Irvington, where I'm from. Everybody knew everybody, like, you know, marrying somebody's husband and, you know, becoming co-wives with that person and intermixing the families and stuff like that was not an uncommon thing. But for some reason, I'd never thought of that as polyamory, at least not in the way that I see it now. I never really thought of that as polyamory, but it 100% was. And so for the fact that my sister has seen this growing up, my mother has experienced it, I'm pretty sure most of the women in my family have been co-wives at some point. The fact that there's still like these questions that I get sometimes are like, or like, you know, they just don't understand certain things sometimes. And I think because they think, you know, of the sexual aspects of ethical non-monogamy is, you know, where a lot of their questions come from. But like, y'all have been around this shit more than I have, experienced it more than I have. So it is what it is. But to be clear, because this has come up for in my family, it's come up in my partner in a relationship that he was pursuing with someone. Being polyamorous doesn't mean that you are greedy. It doesn't mean that you are insatiable. It doesn't mean that you are not satisfied in your relationships. Being polyamorous means that you have the capacity to love other people, to love more than one person. And you want to be ethically non-monogamous. You have the capacity to do that, and you have the willingness to communicate that with everybody. You know, the ethical part gets lost sometimes. Ethical non-monogamy, ENM. The ethical part gets lost sometimes because a lot of people are in polyamorous relationships. Your grandmother was in a polyamorous relationship, and she didn't even know because your granddaddy had another family on the other side of town, okay? He had a whole nother woman with kids on the other side of town. That is polyamory. Granddaddy had the capacity to love more than one woman. Like, it just wasn't ethical. It just was not ethical. That is, you know, going back to what I was, you know, getting at. The way that this relationship that I am in currently is, you know, the way our, like, polyamory looks right now to some people might look, I won't say right now because not right now, but like a couple, maybe 2 months ago, it might have looked very monogamous. Our relationship, I would say for a period of our relationship, looked very monogamous. We were two polyamorous people, but we were really just focusing on each other. And, you know, I think both of us were trying to like date other people, deal with financial stuff, deal with career stuff, dealing with moving, dealing with other personal issues, trying to really get to know each other, solidify our relationship. It was, for the most part, during all of that, it was mostly just us together. So it looked very monogamous. But we both had this desire, especially with the fact that he lives in Miami, I'm in Philly. We both had this desire to like date other people. And, you know, being so far apart physically, 1,000 miles apart, it makes you want somebody closer. Like, yeah, hell yeah, when I'm not with you, like, I want somebody that I could go to the movies with, I could flirt with, you know, talk to, get to know, you know, build a connection with, you know, have special moments with, you know, I want all of that stuff, you know. And I don't feel like it has to be with him. It does not have to be with him. I have the capacity to give that love to somebody else as well, and to pour into somebody else as well. And not only do I have the capacity to do it, I have the desire to do it because I love the way loving somebody makes me feel. I love the way loving somebody makes me wake up in the morning a little bit more optimistic and a little bit more happy, and being with somebody who appreciates what, you know, I bring to the table, what I offer, and wants to grow and learn with me and teach me shit about myself and force me to communicate even more. Like, I want to be the best communicator ever. I want 37 lovers. That's that. No, I don't want 37 lovers, but like I do want to be a really good communicator. I want to be a really good person to be in a relationship with, if that makes sense. Like I want being with me to be so easy, and not in a like I don't communicate and I'm super passive way. No, I want being with me to be easy as in like we go through shit, but we work through shit and we move on to the next. That's what I want being with me to be like. That is how I want being with me to feel. And I know that I can, you know, get there. I don't want to say that it's necessarily a goal that I am working towards necessarily, But that is kind of what you know, that's how I want to feel. And as I'm talking right now and working through this, this bra
just wants to be out today. Oh my God.
This is why I don't wear bras. But as I'm talking through this, right? Like as I'm talking, you know, recording this, I'm also like working through it. I will say one of the things about polyamory that I didn't realize, because again, this is my first primary partner. One of the things about being in this relationship that I didn't realize is how protective you become over your partner. I never heard anybody talk about this or warn me of this. I wasn't prepared for it. And it's a you dabble a fine line in even trying to like figure out like what is your position to say or to do in these situations. And so I'm going to give an example. Bae was meeting women online on like a dating app, and he was going out on a date with this woman who showed up to the date an hour late. How are you showing up to a first date an hour late? That alone made me say, I don't like her. I don't like her. Why? I just feel like this man, he's such a good man. He's such a sweet man. He's not taking you on no bullshit date. He's going to take you to somewhere that he researched, looked up, TikTok, Yelped, Google reviews, pictures, recommendations. He's going to take you to a nice spot that got some good food. He ain't cheap. So he going to make sure you eat. He going to make sure you drink. He might plan an activity afterwards. Like, it's going to be a solid date. And bitch, for you to show up an hour late, you don't deserve him. Go away. I want him to find somebody. I want Bae to be with somebody who deserves him. So when he be telling me about bad experiences he be having on dates with some of these women, I just be like, do you want me to say something? Because let me tell you, she's not the one. I have become so overprotective where in most cases, I probably wouldn't really care that much. But because I think that he's such a good man and low key, let me be real. It's no secret that we're together. If you know him, if you know me, you probably know, you know, right? I don't want none of these bitches. I'm not even gonna let him take nobody on no bullshit date, because that is a reflection of me. And I am not gonna have nobody out here thinking that I'm just, you know, taking the crumbs. No. No, 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 no. That's not going to happen. So I'm going to make sure that he take you on a good date. I'm going to make sure that that he plans it out, has a good time. He's good at doing that shit on his own, so I will not take all of his credit. But I'm just saying, the bar is high. The bar is high. The bar is going to stay high. And if you come around here into this polycule situation, I want you to know that's how we operate. Not just how he operates, not just how I operate. That is how we as a unit operate. So if you're going to come into this mix, we here. And I want to be cool with my metas. I'm not one of those people who's like, you know, because some people, every polyamorous relationship is different. And that's a beautiful thing about polyamory. It doesn't go by any one rule book. I feel like monogamy is very much one set of rules. This is how things go, and that is it. In polyamory, it can look so many different ways. For some people, your partners might not want to know your other partners, and that's okay. That's okay. As long as that's communicated and it's clear on all sides, that's okay if that's how y'all want to operate. Personally, me, I want to know my metamors. I want to hang out with my metamors. I want you to hang out with your metamors. I was just telling Bae this weekend, I would love to have another male partner that I'm very serious with. And I want them too to like go do what boys do. Go watch sports stuff and go to the bar. Or like if we were going away for Bae's birthday, maybe they, you know, they would also want to come along. It could be all three of us. Like I want them to have a relationship outside of me, because I want it to all be, we all here, we all chilling, we all cool, we not lying to each other, we know it's in the mix, and we genuinely care about each other. We will take care of one another far better if we care about each other. If you care about your brother husband, you're going to take care of me better. You know? So that is how I would like for things to look. The dating pool got shit floating on the top. It's like the water's kind of green. Like, I saw a Band-Aid floating in there. It's kind of nasty. It's really cloudy. Like, you're like, I don't really know if I want to step my foot in there. The dating pool is full of shit. And so I don't know what that's going to look like for us in this polyamorous dynamic. But I would love for there to be a situation where I have my primary partner. And I would love another male masculine partner. And I would love a femme identifying presenting woman person. That is what I would like. If that could happen, it would be great. Honestly, I would love for us to all kind of like be romantically involved with one another. But if we could all at a minimum just be really cool, like a nice family, I would absolutely adore that. I would absolutely love that. I would love to be going out on dates with, you know, both of my partners. Both of my male partners. I want to go out on a date with all of us together. I want all four of us to go. Like, I love big love. I love this idea of big love. And y'all know I want my fucking commune. My kinky commune is going to happen in my lifetime. My kinky commune is going to happen. And low key, I just feel like it's going to be a mixing of relationships on the commune. Here's what I would really like for the commune. This is a sidetrack. But what I would really like for the commune is I want us to all co-parent, right? And what does that look like for me? I don't want to have to care who the father of my child is, low key. All of y'all are my lovers. So if I get pregnant, I want to know that we are all here taking care of all the kids. We're not taking care of this one better because he's my biological child. We're taking care of all of the children. We're making sure that all of their needs are met. None of them are going without food and clothes and shelter and education and love and appreciation and consideration. Like, all of them are getting all of their needs met, and it doesn't matter who created the child. That is what I would like. Let me tell you what else I would like on the commune. Janelle Monae. I'm just throwing it out there. If we are talking commune, I believe in the powers of manifestation, so I'm going to speak it. I would like Janelle Monae and Jadena on a commune. Just saying. But, you know, I really have this idea, this love of big love. I really have this idea of communal living. As much as I love having my space, if I was amongst a community of people who had similar ideas about sharing of responsibilities and cleanliness and mutual respect, I could live on a commune happily. And if they was black and they was kinky and they was poly too, like, what else do we need? I've talked about this before. I've talked about this many times. I just feel like it's very doable. And every time I talk about it, people be like, oh, I would be so down. But I'm like, are you really down? Because when we start talking like finances and stuff like that, are you really going to be down? Because if we're going to build it, we got to build it. I can't do it by myself, y'all. If we're going to build it, we got to build it. And if you down, let me know that you down. Because I want this to happen before I'm 35. I'm just saying. Another way that polyamory has forced me to communicate in some ways is kind of like checking what's mine and what's ours and what's his. And I say that, and sometimes you get into an argument, right? And you realize that what you're arguing about isn't even what you were like initially mad at. Or you realize like, this wasn't even my like shit. This wasn't even my shit. And now I'm super passionate about it. This was some shit that wasn't even your shit. It was your other partner's shit that you took on. And now it's like here. So it has forced me to like really look at like, what is mine? What are my issues? What are my problems that I'm having? And it might be my problem that I'm having with you, or my problem that I'm having in this situation. But like, what do I need to work on in this? Because in every argument, I don't think that any argument is 100% anybody's fault. I don't think any disagreement is 100% anybody's fault. So even if it's 5% mine, what in this is mine? So that I can take that, you know, after we deal with here, I could take that and I could go handle that, work on that, talk that out with my therapist. I need to find a new therapist, but go talk that out with somebody, journal about it, sit about it, think about it, whatever. But what is mine in this so I can take that back and fix that? Because you don't want to, like, the worst thing is like having to deal with those issues more than once. You are already involved with different people. Like, it's just, let's, if we have to deal with some shit and work through some shit, let's work through it one time so we never have to come back to this again. Please. Let's not make the same mistake 2 and 3 times. I did deal with a little bit of jealousy. And I'm sure in this relationship, I will deal with more jealousy. I remember there was a time where I just really, me and my partner talk a lot. And he was interacting with someone new, and we were on the phone, and he had to like get off the phone because she was coming over, or they were going out, or whatever it was. And I just remember being like, but usually this time of the day is reserved for me, and having that feeling, and not like I don't want you to go on this date, but it was just like, I need to now start to readjust my expectations. We're not, you know, sometimes we're not going to be able to talk, after work hours. Sometimes that time is going to go to somebody else. And am I going to be okay with that? Yes, I will be okay with that. Was it a shocking, when I had to be faced with it? Hell yeah. But now, maybe in that time I could be working on some other shit. I got plenty of other shit that I could be working on. I could be working on some other shit. Or if this is a time that is particularly special to me, then I could say, I really want this to be our time. Is that something, is that okay? Is that doable? Whatever. But I needed to say, like, I needed to get down to, like, what is it? Am I okay with this? What do I need? And at the end of it, talk to your people when you talk to your people. We talk a lot, enough that, if that time is going to be reserved for somebody else, that time can be reserved for somebody else. I don't ever feel like I am going unloved, unheard, unappreciated. And I think that that is why we are able to move in this way as we are. I'm not really dating anybody else. I'm seeing somebody else right now. I'm seeing another woman right now. And it feels like we're in like a, I don't know. We're not deep in it like I am with my primary partner. So it's still just very new and very easy. Those beginning stages, but we'll see how things shake out in that world. But The point that I really want to make sure it comes across, because one of the people that my partner has been dating back at home in Miami kept asking him, like, why can't you just be happy with one person? Like, why are you so greedy? She's obviously monogamous. And I don't want to roll my eyes at that, but it's just, I don't like the way I feel like she be coming at my man, and I don't like that. And so that's why I'm rolling my eyes at the monogamy. But like, bitch, he told you he was polyamorous from the beginning. He let you know this. So for the fact that she just be acting like it's a shock to her and she just can't believe it. Or maybe she think that she's going to change him into a monogamous person and be with her or something. I don't really know what the deal is. Sis got to go anyway. But, he's not being polyamorous doesn't mean that you're greedy. It just means that you have love to give elsewhere. And being ethically non-monogamous means that you have love to give elsewhere, and you're willing and wanting to do the work that it takes to do so the right way and keep everybody involved informed. And I think that that should be respected. Everybody is not polyamorous. Everybody is not going to be monogamous. That is a real thing. Everybody is not monogamous. So to even turn your nose up at the, the other side is kind of unnecessary, because I can't force polyamory on anybody. I've had people ask me before, like, you know, I've been thinking I want to do this. How do I get my partner to like do this? You can't get your partner to do anything. You can, you know, give them, you know, bring up the conversation and talk your way through it and maybe, you know, see if they can get to your side or whatever. But you can't get anybody to be anything that they're not. I can't teach you how to get anybody to do anything. I don't know how to make people do things. Let's let that be very clear. Mistress, Majesty or not, I don't know how to make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. I know how to ask and present an idea and maybe make a little debate. You know what I'm saying? I could be pretty convincing, but I cannot force anybody to do anything. And I have no desire to force anybody to do anything, because I enjoy pleasure. I enjoy fun. I enjoy freedom. And when you force somebody to doing something, you take away their freedom. You take away the fun. So, you know, let's be nicer to people, even if you don't necessarily agree with their lifestyle, their dating lifestyle. Let's be nicer to people and encourage just being honest and being ethical, because that's all that we're really doing. Raisin, please get down. Get down. Move. That's all that we're really doing. We're just being honest and ethical, and not just with our partners, but with ourselves in what we want and what we desire and what we need in our relationships. Okay? So that's that. Now, we are going to move on to the Let Me Put You On part of the podcast. What is Let Me Put Y'all On? Let Me Put You On is where I put you on to something that you may or may not know. It could be anything. It could be a toy. It could be a device. It could be an event. It could be a person. It could be whatever I want to put you on to. So this week, I am going to put you on to this item here. If you are watching on YouTube, which you should be watching on YouTube at The Fun Sexual, you will see that I am holding on to a glass dildo, right? Now, I'm not putting you on to the glass dildo itself. What I am going to put you on to is a form of temperature play that I have thoroughly enjoyed, okay? So what I like to do with my glass dildo is I like to put it, it has fingerprints and like my hand lotions all over it. I've been touching it a little bit today. But I like to put my glass dildo, I pretty much store this dildo in the freezer. I store this dildo in the freezer because I like to use it for temperature play. So what I'll do sometimes after having sex, and usually when I'm like, you know, kind of coming down off the sex, you know, getting to the point where the sex is not, you know, don't want to have sex anymore, I'll go ask my partner to go grab this dildo out the freezer and then use it on me. And it's like so nice and cooling, and it has like these ridges on it, which feel, you know, sort of like massage-y. And as it like warms up to your body temperature, it feels almost like ice melting without the water coming out. And it's just hot. It feels so, so, so really good. So what I'm trying to do here, y'all, if y'all not paying attention, what I'm trying to do here, y'all, I'm trying to help you elevate your sex life. I'm trying to give you some tips and some tricks and some things that you may not have heard of, may not have done. Raisin, please stop. Get out. Put your glass dildo in the freezer after sex is done, giving aftercare. Don't be going all crazy because it's a glass dildo anyway. You don't want to be going all crazy because they are a little rigid. I mean, for me, they're a little rigid and it hurt. But just taking it and doing some nice, long, slow stroking after to like cool the pussy down. It's nice. That's all I can tell you. It's nice. And I highly recommend it, and I think that you should do it too. All right. Now, we have to add a new song to the Fun Sexual playlist. What is the playlist? So the playlist is a list of songs to play to. Duh. You can find the Fun Sexual playlist on Apple Music and Spotify, and it's in the link in my bio on Instagram. But this week, we are adding Rocket by Beyonce, because we're going to rock it till waterfalls. Fantastic song. Very sexy song. It's been out for a while, but I heard it again recently, and I was like, this is definitely a nice play song. So definitely go listen to that. And before I check out and sign off of this podcast, off of this motherfucking mic for the week. Make sure that you are taking some time for yourself in whatever ways that looks like. Even if that's just sleep. Sleep. Get the sleep that you need. Take care of your body. Do the things that make you feel good, y'all. And don't judge people for doing what they need to do for themselves. I can be a judgy bitch sometimes, and I have definitely seen people doing things that I didn't think were in their best interest. But they are coping in the ways that they need, not even coping. I don't want to use coping, because then it sounds like they're doing drugs or some shit, but like, you know, the bad drugs. But like, you know, if somebody needs to spend a little extra money because they need to go to the spa, even though they probably shouldn't be spending that money, like it ain't my business. It ain't my money. And sometimes you need that space and time. So just really leave space and time for people to like deal with their shit. Right. And you take whatever space and time you need to deal with your shit, because let's be honest, it's hard as fuck right now. It is hard. Being an adult in the world in 2023, it is fucking hard. And like, all we really need to do is just be lending a little bit more patience and a little bit more grace to everybody, because we could all use it ourselves. So that's it. Just be nice, be kind. And that's all I got. So I love y'all. And yeah, bye.